had many detours, and that's kind of what we're going to be heading for today. So I want to set the story up and kind of give some scripture to it. I'm not really a novice of scripture. I haven't gone to school, so bear with me. But I want to set the story up, as most of you may know the story of the birth and youth of Moses. What I found most important to me was that his life, was detoured, right? Not only once, not twice, but many times. And in that, you have to kind of know the verses of chapter 2. We're going to express that and kind of go through that a little bit. But verses 1 through 10 paint a picture of how this child Moses, who was born into a loving family, but wait, he doesn't get that normal childhood, if you could call that normal, right, in his circumstances. He had to be hidden for 3 months. And he had to be hidden because Pharaoh had wanted to seek each son out and kill them. In that hiding, it became super difficult, so his mother made the decision to place him in the reeds on the bank of the river, where he is found by Pharaoh's daughter, who takes pity on him. Not only is he saved, but his sister, who has been watching, intercedes by asking the Pharaoh's daughter if she wanted one of the Hebrew mothers to nurse him. So then he's passed back to his mother. Interesting, right? Life detoured again. But wait. His mother then delivers him back to the Pharaoh's daughter to raise as her own. So in chapter 11, we find him at about the age of 40, where his life takes another detour because he murders an Egyptian, and then he flees. So again, he's detoured where he finds a place, and he lives there, and he's blessed with a wife, and he has a child. Just in the midst of this is when God is about to reveal himself. But wait, not yet. So we're going to read in Scripture, Exodus 2, 11 through 25. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and saw their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his kinsfolk. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting. He said to the one who was in the wrong, "Why do you strike your fellow Hebrew?" He answered, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh. He settled in a land of Midian and sat down by a well. The priests of Midian had 7 daughters. They came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. But some shepherds came and drove them away. Moses got up and came to their defense, and he also watered their flock. When they returned to their father, Reuel, he said, "How is it that you came back so soon today?" They said, "An Egyptian helped us against the shepherd. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he? Why did you leave the man? Invite him to break bread." Moses agreed to stay with the man, and he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah in marriage. He bore a son. She bore a son. Well, he didn't. She did. And he named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been an alien residing in a foreign land." After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery, and they cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. Isn't that amazing? But this is the kind of story that leaves us hanging, right? Almost like a song that you know really, really well. And somebody starts to sing it, and it gets interrupted, and you feel the need to finish it. Not only do you feel the need to finish it, but you are urging, and you feel like you're about to bust because you got to finish it, right? I chose this passage of Moses because he didn't know what God had in store for him. On my life journey and Wendy's life journey, we were cousins, childhood friends, who lived across the alley from one another, yet 2 worlds apart. Both our lives had had many detours along the way, and yet we had no clue what God had in store for us. This testimony is pretty in-depth. But we have tried to limit our time because, let's face it, there's only so much time you folks are willing to give us, right? Amen. Since our stories involve music, we will be singing for you just a bit. On my side of the alley, we had a family band that had just come back from singing over the road for 2 years about peace and love. Little did I know that that would disappear. But I will never forget my first song about God, which I learned when I was about 4 years old. And some of you may know it, so I'm just going to sing it. There's not going to be any music, but I want to kind of give you that experience of needing to finish that song. So I'm like, He's got the whole world. Oh, okay, wait. You weren't supposed to finish, right? Not yet, right? But you felt compelled to do that, right? Let's try that again. Go ahead and finish it. He's got the whole world in His hands. 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 That was amazing. Well, Mount Air, welcome to the birth of spiritual connection with the Lord in my world. That was it. That's it. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a foundation like that. The song, that was my go-to song for worship until I was about 10 years old. In my head, as a child, going through the physical and emotional abuse from my dad, the alcohol and drugs that I was subjected to while performing in a bar every weekend until I was 13 years old, domestic violence, brutal domestic violence, stemming from drugs and alcohol, against my mother, the competition and hatred, yes, hatred between me and my sibling, the divorce, my mother leaving me with two people that could have probably cared less if I died. I thought, if God has the whole world in His hands, then why am I not included? Nobody knew what was going on behind those closed doors. And even if they did, they couldn't do anything about it. My life had detoured several times. All I wanted was a safe haven, and for me, it was across the alley at my cousin Wendy's house. At least they had the Lord in their house. They prayed for meals from my side of the alley. Things looked peachy there. There was no fighting in front of me. I was fed a hot meal, and I could stay as long as I wanted. But in my mind, I knew I had to get back to reality. I had to get back to my mother. I sought God out in different ways, went to Awana's at the Baptist Church on top of the hill, and I was baptized there. Nope, life didn't change for me after I came up from that water. I was a little disappointed. Really didn't know the meaning of that. So I was bounced back from vacation Bible school to vacation Bible school because it was free, and my parents needed to get rid of me for about a weekend. In that, I had been baptized several times, and still nothing. And as proof that I didn't matter, my life took another detour when my dad moved us to Denver, and then he left us kids to fend for ourselves for 5 months. Until my mother stepped back into the picture. By then, I was full of rage and pain, and I became physical with my mother. I thought that if she had never left, that none of this would have happened. But that was a lie. I left home at 15, ended up pregnant, married at 17, became a single parent at 18. Still I was lost because I didn't know that even though life has detours, there are signs that guide you along the way, guide you back safely to where you need to be. That's God. Nope, I was determined to find my own way, getting lost. I'm still not hearing it until my second child was born and I witnessed my very first miracle. Yeah, it was a little different when God came to my rescue. I was screaming and pleading for Him to help me help my son before I lost control. I then realized every miracle that God was providing for me, the small things and the big things. God had kept us fed, He kept us clothed and housed, safe and sound, and I was aware of His presence, but I was still angry. I wanted to be married so bad that I thought giving all of me, this would happen, which again, I was off my detour path. You know that Mustang in the middle of a blizzard? Bald tires careening into a ditch, right? Yeah, that was me. Self-destructing. I put my man first before God, before my children, because I was so desperate for someone, anyone, to love me. I still wasn't good enough. But God had let me run, and He let me run until the end of myself. And I did that night when I tried to take my life. I mentally calculated my steps. As I walked into traffic, I felt the wind rush through my body. I found myself in the dark on the side of the road, and as I looked back, I saw that my daughter was standing there watching. And then I heard God speak. God told me some things. And he didn't speak to me from afar. He spoke to me spirit to spirit, if that makes sense. I've never had anything like that happen to me. He said, I am the one that's never gonna forsake you. I will never leave you. You are good enough because you are mine and I am yours. And I can love you beyond what any man or any person on this earth can. And it was then that I realized that I am not alone.
When I walk through deep waters, I know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome.
Tour continues on the other side of the alley. This girl right here, she has her own story about her own detours.
So my name is Wendy. Thank you for having me. I suppose I should stand. I mean, it's kind of hard to get this out. There we go. Well, Rhonda, I'm glad you thought that the house and my home was a safe haven for you, and that was because of my mother. And anytime anyone was in need, anyone needed clothes, anyone needed a shower, anyone needed food, she would always be there to provide. Now, my dad and Rhonda's dad are brothers. So, my dad came to know the Lord the night I was born, because both my mother and I almost didn't make it. And we did have God in our home, but the spiritual temperature of our house was always dependent upon my dad's mood. And he had difficulty being a good husband. And he didn't want my mom to go be with friends or to visit family. It was just this very suffocating, walking on eggshells type of environment. And not always did people experience it when they came over, because there was just a lot of love in the house. But it was still for me as a kid growing up in it, the anxiety was just tremendous and overwhelming. So we would go and meet my mom's friends for breakfast, but we wouldn't tell my dad. And so at a very, very young age, I learned to lie very well. And when I was 9 years old, actually when I was 7 years old, my mother's mother and sister were tragically killed in a car accident, and the little amount of money my mom got, she bought a piano. And she said, you are taking lessons, little girl. So I started taking piano lessons when I was in third grade. And you know, sometimes when you take musical lessons, you get to that point where you're just not that good, and you just don't want to carry on. And boy, I'm sure glad my mom would get the whip out, not literally, but she would get the whip out and say, you rehearse, and she made me rehearse every day. And so I'm thankful for my mother for that gift of music. So to move on, high school and college, boy, did I live a life of risk. And you know, sometimes you contemplate your life and look back and say, wow, how did I survive that? Or wow, God was merciful because that could have just ended up disastrous. So in my 20s, I moved to the Big Apple, and that's when I recommitted my life to the Lord. And guess what happened? Here comes Y2K. And my parents didn't want to see their daughter living in such a big city just in case the world collapsed. So with great hesitation, I moved back to Colorado. And of course, nothing happened. So I was a little upset with my family that they had made me come home. Meanwhile, I have no idea where Rhonda is. We hadn't been in communication. Maybe once in a great while, we'd see each other at a family barbecue. And wouldn't you know, the detour of me coming back to Colorado was God's mercy, because I got sick. And I wouldn't have gotten through it without my family being around me and helping me through it. So I was involved in ministry here in Denver, and I, through a series of unfortunate decisions, married the wrong guy. And isn't that something? We want to blame God sometimes. How could this happen to me? But really, it was me and my responsibility and my unfortunate decisions. Well, throughout time, my mother encountered breast cancer. And back in Colorado, my sister and I were her caregivers. And in 9 months, I got a divorce and I lost my mom. And it was a really tough time. And at that time, I got reconnected with a pastor friend of mine, and that's when I got involved in worship again. And I was up at a Baptist church up in North Glen. And I just dove in, committed everything. I was involved in every worship activity, organized programs, and my sister just kind of had a real literal come to Jesus meeting with me, and she said, your ministry, your everything that you're giving and everything that you're serving is a band-aid, and you really, really need to deal with it. And at the same time, I had gotten a dream. And I was in the middle of a very dark ocean with tumultuous waves, and I thought, well, why is God giving me a dream when I've already been through it? You know, I got a divorce, I lost my best friend, and it was a heads up, because here it comes. So the next 3 years was just a very, very dark time. I stepped out of ministry, and it was such darkness and loneliness. I had never, ever contemplated suicide. That is something that had never even been in the realm of my mind. But God took me and allowed me to be in such a place that if any of you have been there, don't we have compassion now on those who suffer, who maybe suffer mentally, who maybe have committed suicide, and yet if you've only been through almost there, that mercy and compassion that we almost have, that we must have for folks. So that dark time wasn't a couple weeks, a couple months. It was 3 years. And with God's goodness and grace and mercy, made it through. And God restored even more the music. I started writing music, arranging music. I got back up with the church uptown. And now I'm a worship leader up there. And he's just allowed everything to be restored, plus more. And I'm just so thankful, because I am thinking back that that would not have happened if not for the dark journey and the dark detours, and but for the faithfulness of God to get me through. Thank you for letting me share.
Upon the waters.
I had been changing my life and following God more than I ever had. The night on the side of the road, I had made a deal with God that if he gave me my voice back, because I lost it for 2 years, that I would not only sing to glorify his name, but there were conditions on my side. And although I know that now that you're not supposed to test God, he not only made what was impossible in my mind possible, he has exceeded that tenfold. I have story after story where I've been able to walk into a place of worship and just sing, not knowing one single person, not even trusting in God at that time, and God gave me purpose. Well, the best part of that was Christmas of 2012. God had merged my lane beside my cousin Wendy, whom I totally kind of disconnected with a couple times, like she said at, you know, family events, hey, how's it going? We should get together. And then it fades off for another 3 years, and then, hey, how's it going? You know, so she asked me to sing for this Christmas program that she was putting together in 2012. And I said, yeah, no problem. And that's when I learned that she could play piano. I mean, who knew, right? And not only could she play piano, but she could play piano. Like, she, like, went all out in this production. I was pretty impressed. Through Wendy, God had revealed to me another gift that I had, and that's to work vocally with people in music to help them sing and untap that gift of God that they have. So I thank you for that as well. We found ourselves separated after this amazing performance on Christmas. And yet another detour where we both suffered the losses of our mothers. Where in our brokenness we bonded and we healed, and we're still healing, because I don't think that ever really takes place, does it? I felt the need to get back to God, but I wanted to do something with Wendy, and so I called her, and then she announced, hey, I'm going to be the worship leader at this church, but we're doing traditions. And I'm like, oh, great, hymns. And that's where I found a new respect for hymns. Also, I just have to say that she has brought the life back to their tradition service, just singing the hymns the way she does and rearranging stuff. I'm just mystified. When we were singing together, just kind of back and forth, she actually put a duet together. And that was such a blessing that day. I was whole for the first time in a long time, because I'd been singing with my sister since I was 4. And I knew that that's where God wanted me to be. I came here, and well, you're stuck with me for a while anyway. So I thank you for your blessings. You know that story. And I have to say that Reuben gave me the opportunity even when I didn't feel that I was good enough. So I thank him for that. I wanted to one day tell my story and hope that it inspired somebody. I didn't think I was good enough to do that either. And here I am today. God keeps amazing me with these different things. I never thought I'd be behind a podium. I call that podium over there, Pastor Reuben Thundercoat. And I tell him you should get in the audience. But I have a newfound respect for what he does, let me tell you. I have a newfound respect for Regina and for the secretary putting everything together. You have no idea what goes on behind this whole thing. And I'm like, Chuck, please rescue me, because I have no idea what to do. And he was like, anything you need, just relax. It's going to be great. So, but it is kind of scary up here, and I'm humbled and I am honored. If I could tell you one thing, is that I've learned is that I now follow the signs. I may not know where the detour leads me exactly or how long it is, but I know that God is making a way for me, and he's working on me along the way, fine-tuning me, if you will. Wendy and I, we still don't know where God is leading us, but we know that our path is under construction, and no matter what or how bad it gets, potholes, scary single lanes, flashing lights, road hazards, if we wait on God, he has more in store for us. And you never know who you will cross paths with along the way and make your journey that much better. I would like to thank you, Wendy, for making this season so amazing for me. And I would like to thank you, Mount Air, for just blessing me with your love and just being so warm and inviting. That is what community is about. I've learned so much from each and every one of you. Ruth, Regina, all the elders have just really helped me become who I am today. So that makes me happy. God makes me happy. And it's such a happy day, right? I think we should stand up and sing, Oh Happy Day. What do you think? And you can clap, I don't care if you're off.
Oh Happy Day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
I said, when Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
You washed my sins away. Oh, happy day.
Happy? Yes. I was going to say, I went to jump and yell and do all these things, but I also found myself just caught in just the moment with you. And just wanting to soak that in so much. How about this presentation today? Right? And the concept of detours. Certainly, it's about, you know, one of the things we do is we invite people to be able to share time, talent, and wealth as a way of helping others and this congregation and this church to manage the detours of life. So we just ask you to consider now ways in which you can give to help in those detours. Thank you. Oh, good and gracious God, we have no idea what you're going to do with this, but we know you're going to make magic happen. Please take these tithes and offerings and create the abundance that we depend on and love you for. Amen.
Let us all come to the table today. Every single person is welcome, regardless of where you are in your life journey. You may be experiencing a detour in your life right now, or perhaps someone you know has strayed from the detour route, and you are holding them close to your heart in prayer. Know this, that God will not leave us behind. He will seek out his children. If we look for the signs, when we are lost, we follow him. We will be guided where God wants, where his will wants us to be. We may not see what he has in store for us, but just as we spoke of Moses, we know that he was a murderer, and yet see what God did and what he had in store for him. In our testimony today, the details were limited, as there are many, many more layers to our stories. But the point was that we had no idea what God had in store for us. And we are here together, blessed to worship the Lord. As communion is being passed your way today, I want you to think not of the impossible, but open your heart to God and surrender to him so he may show you what he has in store for you. He is the way, the truth, and the light. As we are all under construction, let us know that we can depend on the promises made by God, and he will guide us if we choose to follow.
Oh, dear God, this table really symbolizes the ultimate detour, the one that you took willingly to give us new life. We just pray, O Lord, that as we partake of the bread and the cup, that it brings within each of us that strength to take the next detour and to take it willingly and gladly, according to your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing as the elements are being passed, so people will come up to pass the elements.
The outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give.
Love opened the door for us.
All the paupers and the princes, oh, who failed, you've been forgiven. Oh, who dream and oh, who suffer, oh, who loved and lost another. All the chained and all the free, oh, who follow, oh, who lead. Anyone who's been let down, oh, the lost you have been found. Oh, who've been labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears a song. As they come to
His body for us. That detour. Let us take the bread and remember that sacrifice. And the cup of his shed blood. Let us remember that.
We're going to end with a song called Yes and Amen. And I'd like everybody to stand. You may not know it, but I just want you to lift your hands and worship. There'll be some times where you can kind of catch on and just sing with us. But it's very heartfelt. Wendy picked it for us, and I think it's a good song. So join us. We've got to believe in something when we're so desperate and we just to get right back in the right direction. People that we know are struggling, we need to get them back on track, but we can do that by loving one another and believing in His word and resting in His promise, because that is solid. That is the only thing that we have, are His promises to come back for us. If we do that, we can rest. We can rest in that.
Join hands. Do you feel full?
Yes.
Again, thank you. We got to get you guys in this thing here, too. Forget about the piano. Come on. Oh, good and gracious God. We never know how we're going to be blessed each day, but You've blessed us so abundantly through Rhonda and Wendy. And we ask here now, Lord, and declare our support to each of them as they take their next step in their journeys of life and make those detours on Your behalf and in faith. And we ask, O Lord, that each of us have that same strength to take these detours and to make them what You want them to become. And what we're going to say is yes and amen. Amen.
How much, Rob? Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll have you anytime.
Sorry, I had to take my communion real quick.
Yep.
Yeah. The opposite of being in the library, you know where that is?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
across from the
fishery.
Okay, because there's another group of them.
Okay, good. Good to know. Thank you for everything, Chuck. I really appreciate you saving my life. That was a blessing.
But you're starting to get there.
I got a long ways to go. For
sure. You did so great.
How are you?
Your testimony made me cry.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I love coming here. We work it in when we can. Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Hi. Thank you.
She drives it with her own rhythm and
wow.